In Afghanistan, plunging incomes and surging food prices are exacerbating an economic and humanitarian crisis. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll take you to Afghanistan in a moment, but first to Ukraine's capital, where the leaders of Germany, France, and Italy will meet with President Volodymyr Zelensky today. As air raid sirens wailed in Kiev this morning, it was a reminder they've arrived in a country that is still at war. Ukraine's government says artillery support is badly needed to continue fighting against Russian invaders, especially in the southeastern Donbass region. The U.S. has allocated another $1 billion worth of support, and President Zelensky is expected to press his European allies for more of theirs at today's talks. From Kiev, the BBC's Joe Inwood has more.
The European Union's three most powerful national leaders are putting on a united front. Italy's Mario Draghi, France's Emmanuel Macron, and Germany's Olaf Scholz are travelling together to Kiev, seeking to counter the criticism of their perceived lukewarm support for Ukraine. The visit comes a day before the European Commission is set to make a recommendation on Ukraine's status as a candidate for EU membership. Speaking ahead of the trip, President Macron said, "We are at a point where we need to send clear political signals, us Europeans, towards Ukraine and its people when it is resisting heroically."
That's the BBC's Joe Inwood reporting there. Checking the numbers now, a surprise half percentage point rate hike from Switzerland's central bank this morning, its first in 15 years, is sending fresh nervousness through financial markets. Despite being steadied by talk from the ECB and a rate rise from the Fed yesterday, European bond markets are seeing more selling pressure today. European stock benchmarks, meanwhile, are also lower, down in the 1.2 to 2.5% range. The Bank of England is on deck with its own rate rise later this afternoon. Meanwhile, the price of Bitcoin is hovering around $20,000 at this hour. Though it's up slightly today, it has plunged around 70% from its November high. Near its peak last fall, El Salvador became the first country to allow people to use the cryptocurrency in transactions. The move was met with large-scale protests over fears it would bring further instability and inflation to the impoverished country. The BBC's Joe Tidy just returned from a trip there and explains whether the government's promises of job creation and economic prosperity have been fulfilled.
Not that I saw. I think it's fair to say that there has been some what you call Bitcoin tourism in some places, like Bitcoin Beach, where this all started, down on the south coast. Some businesses there say there have been a 30% increase in the number of foreigners coming in. And the novelty of spending Bitcoin is a big draw for some people. So you are seeing a little bit of that. There are some estate agents that I was speaking to that point to perhaps foreign investors coming in. They want a property to buy with Bitcoin. But I think in terms of the longer term, medium and long term goals of President Bukele, we certainly aren't seeing that yet. And what's interesting, of course, is that he thought that when he made it legal tender, this is our route to prosperity by buying Bitcoin. He spent nearly $100 million on buying Bitcoin in the last 10 months now, and every single batch of coins he's bought has gone down in value. If you look at the value of the coins right now, it's about half of what he paid for them.
And that's a warning that the IMF issued earlier this year, didn't it? Because they strongly urged El Salvador to reverse that decision to make it legal tender. And they said that that will stand in the way of the country being able to get very critical loans from the IMF, a more than $1 billion loan. Is that a concern at all to the government?
No, doesn't seem to be at all. The government regularly brushes off criticism. It's actually quite rude. Nayib Bukele on Twitter is quite rude about the IMF. He posts memes about them and stuff like that. At the same time, trying to get an increase in money from them. It's a really interesting populist strategy from Bukele, but he's a very popular president. He was elected in 2019 with a landslide victory. And according to polls, he is a very popular president. There are pockets of protest, but if you ask the government in the last few days how they feel about the fact that their Bitcoin stash has gone down so much, and the finance minister, he laughs when people say this.
I don't think regulators or international lenders would agree with that.
I don't think so.
Joe Tidy, thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
Thank you.
To Afghanistan now, where nearly half of the population is going hungry. Many are now relying on scraps of stale bread to prevent starvation, and more than a million children face severe levels of malnutrition. Though humanitarian aid is being delivered, wider development funding for the country is not. So many families have resorted to desperate measures, including drastic changes to what they eat, as the BBC's Sukundar Kamani reports from Kabul.
I'm in the busy Pulau Kushti market. There are stalls selling chickens, sheep heads, prayer mats. Just in front of a large blue-domed mosque, a large orange sacks filled with stale bread.
The bread, broken pieces of round naan, is usually fed to cattle. that now more people than ever are eating it themselves. Shafi Muhammad has been selling leftover bread here for the past 30 years.
The better quality bread is on the top of the bag. When poor people come to buy, they pick these better ones. Before, 5 people used to buy this bread in a day. Now it's more than 20 people. The life of Afghan people right now is like a bird which has been locked in a cage with no food or water.
Bread is the staple food here in Afghanistan, but there's a deep economic crisis. International development funding the country relied on has largely been cut off since the Taliban took over and the central bank reserves frozen over concerns around the Taliban's hardline treatment of women. But it means already poor families are struggling with rising food prices. I'm outside a bakery in Kabul. Dozens of women in blue burqas are sat here waiting for pieces of fresh bread to be donated. Some have brought sewing kits with them, as they can wait for hours. Even when billions were pouring into this country, corruption, the war, meant that life was a struggle. Now, the war might be over, but for many, the struggle is getting even harder.
That's Sikandar Kamani reporting in Kabul there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.